All right, Mondays and Fridays, we get with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy, and it's always a pleasure. Brother Johnny in Houston.
You got it wrong, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh. Amazing how many I missed it every single time. Mike's in Chicago. You've been traveling, man. You've been all over the place, Mike.
Yeah, I've been too many places, but I had to go out to L.A. for a couple of per day and come back. So I've been running around. I've been everywhere.
All right, unemployment, 9%, over 9%, as it has been for 2 years. The Dow lost 2,000 points in the last few weeks. $3 trillion in wealth wiped out. All the money the Fed pumped in is now being reflected maybe in the price of gold, silver, Swiss francs. But in rising consumer prices, inflation raising its ugly head. 1 in 5 U.S. children living in poverty. What the heck is going on, Mike? It doesn't feel very good in this country right now.
Well, I really don't know why, you know, all this stuff. I'll be honest about the unemployment thing. What do people think is going to change from month to month? Come on. There's nothing to make a change. So, you know, the unemployment thing, if that's what they're saying, the market's going down on the unemployment numbers, well, it's not going to change. So, I mean, there's no magic elixir. You can't wave a wand because nothing's been done. There's no programs put in place to change any of that. There's nothing to grow business. You know, until there's a plan put out front by our government, I mean, it's not going to change. So, you know, people get, the unemployment numbers are up, so the market goes down. Well, that's silly. So you might as well just take the market all the way down because that's not going to change radically until there's a plan in place, and there's no plan.
Well, Steve, that's exactly right. You have a business plan when you decide to invest in any company or in any venture. You say, well, what are we going to do here? What's our plan? We have got a plan that just basically admits we don't know what we're going to do. And what do we have now? 12 people that are going to decide what we're going to do, and we don't know what that is, but it's probably not going to be a very good plan. And that's being reflected in the stock market because we're not confident. I think Mike's right. The unemployment is a factor, but the main thing is the short to midterm outlook. What are we going to do, guys? I thought we had a debt crisis, and we were going to decide what we were going to do about it. We don't have a very good plan. So we're not putting the money there.
I don't mean that unemployment's the only problem, but that seems to be the excuse everybody comes up with every time the market drops. It's not, you know, do we have to have better programs? Do we have to cut spending? Do we have to do anything like that? We have to reform tax codes. None of that's brought up. It's always the same thing with unemployment. And there are a lot of people out of work, and that's very disheartening. These people are looking. There's a lot of them who are really looking for jobs who can't find jobs.
But as you say, Mike, what has changed and what is going to change to change that number? I mean, business is still hanging back going, what are the rules? I don't feel comfortable going forward. The small businesses are looking around, hanging on. They're worried about higher taxes. They don't want to bring new people on because they don't know what the health benefit costs and all these other things. Nobody understands what the game plan is and the rules. So what is the president supposed to do? If you were advising President Obama, Johnny, what would you tell him?
I would tell him that he needs to go the other way, or at least signal that he's going to go the other way. We hear a lot of talk, but no action. And, for example, if you talk about small business, we hear about the health care plan. Well, that's been that kind of rocked his whole presidency, and it's not been very well received. Why don't you repeal it and put it back, or talk about, well, you know, maybe we were wrong about that. But I don't think that's what's really causing small businesses to slow as much as just it's hard to get money, Steve. Mm-hmm. The regulations and the oversight and the restructuring of these banking rules and the reticence to loan money is what's slowing the economy down, because we've lived on borrowed money, and bank borrowed money can be very good. It's what's built a future, and so we've slowed that down. Well, these are the kinds of things that you have to start putting some more confidence back in. And I'm not sure, Mike, that there won't be a change in leadership, because sometimes it's just hard to turn it around no matter what kind of revelation you have.
Well, we found that out because we have an administration now that's blaming former administrations and not taking any of the responsibility themselves. I mean, you know, there's got to be some type of plan in place. You know, listen, I'm not blaming it. You know, everybody's to blame, you know, both parties. But I'm just saying, you know, it's time that we started. We had all this rhetoric about country first. Well, let's put the country first. Let's put people first. Let's put the country first. And let's do something. Let's do something bold. You know, maybe it's a little bit unconventional right now. in the sense of what either side might want. But let's make a move to do something that says, hey, we're going to do this with the idea of getting this thing back on track. And I don't know what it is, but evidently somebody in Washington ought to be smart enough to figure it out.
Well, Steve, I got to tell you that it's really not that complicated. I think that there's been a strong message from a huge sector, I think a majority of Americans, that say we do not want this government growing like it is. We don't want the big central government. Let's cut back. The answer so far has been no, we're not going to do it. And that's where things go, what? That's not how it's supposed to work. And that is one of the root causes of the lack of confidence and the way things are slowing down and the problems we're having and the way it feels, which is, what do you mean no? What do you mean no, you're not going to do it? So I think they've got to answer yes. With the government of the people, by the people, for the people, we're going to do what the people want to do. If we go down the tubes doing what everybody agrees to do, that's one thing. But being driven off the edge, that's quite another.
Well, and as more people get involved, as more people have their voice heard, I guess that's a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the way democracy does work.
Yeah, it's a great thing, but it's not a good thing when you have one aspect of the media calling people, almost terrorists and radicals and this and that. And really, these are just normal, common people who want to cut spending. Really, the Tea Party people, I don't think they're radicals. I don't think that they're extreme either way. I just think that they're American people that said, hey, this train is off the track. Let's get it back on the track.
Yeah. All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Meanwhile, Rick Perry seems to be stirring it up. Apparently, White House operatives and administration operatives, campaign operatives, are now looking into anything they can find on Rick Perry. He's got him worried, Johnny.
Well, I think he's a viable candidate. He's been a great governor there in Texas. But it's interesting that's the first, the first kind of cut right out of the blocks is find a way to slur the guy. Don't listen to what he might have to say.
Yeah.
Don't try to hear, okay, well, what's your suggestion? But just find some kind of background, negative, disparaging thing to attack. That's a bad part of our culture and a bad part of our political system. It's just reality. I think Rick Perry's a good man. I think he's the real deal. So we'll see, Steve. I haven't been looking at, the big picture strategy of all the different races, and I've just been like everybody else, kind of watching and seeing who you like, and it starts there, and then you listen to what they're saying, and he's got a lot of charisma. I think he's a smart guy, too.
He is, and we need, or the country needs, if you're going to affect change, then you need a great candidate. Now, whoever that may be, if it's Michelle Bachmann or it's Rick Perry or whoever it may be, we saw that it's not some of the other people. I think plenty dropped out a lot. But I'm just saying right now that I listen to the guy. He's being bashed because he's a Christian. Do you understand what we're saying? I mean, this lady had her son ask him questions about why he doesn't believe in science and evolution and everything. It was kind of interesting, and his answer was right on. And she was prompting him to do this. It was silly. Why didn't she just ask him the question? Got a little kid asking the question. But, I mean, this is what you're going to run into. They're going to do every ploy they can. And right now, Democratic strategists really evidently look at him as a major threat, or they wouldn't be attacking him the way they are.
Yeah, well, what they did, and it was interesting, I saw a clip on the television. They had CBS had a report in June talking about the incredible job growth that have come from Texas, and the fact that Texas have provided most of the new jobs in the country have come from Texas. That was in June from CBS. Last week, CBS reported, well, is it really that good? And then they found somebody on the street saying, how is it? Well, it's awful. It's unbelievable.
But anybody that listens to that, it's crazy anyway.
It's like
CNBC and Rachel Maddow. I mean, why would you do that? Yeah. You have to be an idiot.
Meanwhile, the Congressional Black Caucus, Johnny, definitely getting edgy with the president. Nancy Pelosi heckled at her town hall meeting, called a sellout, so the far left getting on them for not going far enough.
Well, and that's what happens. When it starts to go bad, it goes bad, as Mike said.
That's right. And then do you begrudge the president going to Martha's Vineyard, riding bikes with the kids, 10-day vacation when Rome is burning? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I really don't. I don't regret that at all. I just think, you know, when we talk about all the things and the priorities and everything, and you know, you got to get the guys out of the big jets and all this stuff, you know, you got to be careful because it's a lifestyle that everybody aspires to be in. Whether you say it, you admit it or not, anybody would say, geez, that would be my deal. I'd love to be able to jump on that plane and go when I wanted to. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So, you know, I think maybe the president is aspiring to some of that, too.
Well, and you can't inspire the American dream if you take away the American dream. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I sense with some of the large, well-intended programs to level the playing field, quote-unquote, tends to just lower the bar. And I think that's where individual freedom and individual achievement is what's made this country great. As far as the president going on vacation, Steve, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he does more harm than good when he goes to work or not. Maybe he should stay on vacation. I don't know.
What about Congress being called back? There was some call for that. Would you have done that?
Well, I mean, that just, you know what? They didn't get the job done. Maybe going back and hearing it a little while will be what they need to do. When they get back, they'll say, you know, we got to do something of substance here. We're all in trouble. You know, maybe that's the dose of medicine they need. Staying up there and jawing at each other hasn't worked. So let's give them a few weeks off because we're all the way to the wall anyway. So maybe they'll hear something back where they're from that makes sense.
Right. Right.
And maybe 2 weeks, and maybe the plan will be a plan that can be accepted by both sides. I don't know, you know, but, you know, you've got to lead. You've got to take the initiative, and you got to go forward. And there's going to be criticism from both sides, probably, but so what?
Yeah.
It's part of the job. When leaders do get criticized.
Well,
this 12-man committee, I agree with Newt Gingrich.
Well, that's a joke. Now
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's going to be highly polarized and extremely political. So yeah. I'll be surprised if we're pleased with what happens there. So
it sounds like a flat-out cop out from taking responsibility. You designate 12 people to make the cuts. If they don't, you go right to what, defense and health care, and make some deep cuts by default. Golly.
Which they won't do that either. Yeah. So it's just a lot of ado about nothing when we really need something done.
Well,
so.
And the president's plan is what? Everyone's saying, well, if he has his plan, where has it been?
Well,
I don't think there is one right now. I think there's going to be one, and I think, again, you know, who knows? You have to wait and see and hear.
All right,
but there is no plan right now. I mean, it's a rehash the old stuff, you know. Recycle. That's all.
Oil prices plunging, Johnny. Does that do anything either way?
Well, it probably helps us in a sense from the standpoint of cash on the street. So, as far as our energy prices, doesn't help much. But when these oil projects and exploration projects are put on the drawing board, they account for huge fluctuations in oil, and they assume, for instance, to do this project. Let's assume 3-year oil at $54 a barrel. 54. They're not up at $90 or $100. They're basing it on a much lower benchmark. So it shouldn't affect exploration projects much. The other thing is, it's not going to stay down, Steve. It never does.
Yeah.
And we're not making that much project on alternative energy. It takes decades to build that. And oil is used in every aspect of our lives, not just cars. But plastics and other materials, and hey, how about oil for lubrication?
Yeah, right. And what about permitting? Anything loosening up as far as permits?
It's slow, but it's coming. There, you know, people are getting drilling permits. It's happening. Could be faster, but that's coming back online, and there's more and more pressure to get it going faster and faster because there's oil companies here that want to drill and get more oil, so we need to let them do it.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka will be right back in just a moment after our break and talk a little bit more. We got a lawsuit from the NFL I want to touch on as well. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Want to get your take on this, Mike. 7 former players have sued the NFL in Philadelphia over the league's handling of concussion-related injuries. One of the plaintiffs, 2-time Super Bowl champ, and your guy, Jim McMahon, who said that he played through 5 concussions but now frequently walks around in a daze and forgets why he enters a room. Validity here?
I don't know. I'm going to see Jim at the end next week. I always thought he was a little wacky anyways, but saying all that, I think you got to understand, you know, the evolution of the medical process in the NFL has come a long way, but it was very poor when I played. It was actually poor in the 80s, too. Now, the concussion thing, because a lot of it is, it works both ways, though. The team wants the guy back on the field, and the guy wants back on the field. So you kind of put him in harm's way by saying, okay, it's his decision. He wants to go back in. But that's why what they're doing now is right. They've got kind of got a hand on this thing now with this independent doctor, a guy that's not hired by the team, an independent doctor, and he's got to stay out 1 week. Now, is it foolproof? No, it's not foolproof, but it's a start. You're going in the right direction.
I think there, one of the things, too, is just taking a little bit of a of exception to some of these head-on-head hits, which has been emphasized the last few years, and it's football, so you're going to get it, but you're going to get a few less of those really, really vicious.
John, I had a big discussion with somebody yesterday. Listen, the head-on-head hits is because of the helmet. Now, listen, when I played, the helmets were just like, you know, they were foam rubber inside plastic. Okay, they were for protection. Now, they have actually become so sophisticated, they become weapons that you have no fear once you put it on your head to strike with your head.
Yeah.
You watch people who play rugby, they have cauliflower ears, but they don't get concussions. They turn
That's
their head off to the side.
Huh.
So now when you have this fear to go, no, I mean lack of fear to go forward, you're going to strike with your helmets. And when you get two of these helmets striking the way these guys can, the speed they're moving, something's got to give. You're not going to change it, you know, I'm just telling you. But people have to understand now, football is a gladiator sport. Now, whether you want to admit it or not, now, even this thing with kicking off from the 35-yard line now is a joke, because they're taking one aspect of the game that's very important away, and that's field position, and teams with good special teams are going to be punished for this. So, I mean, the kickoff's a big part of football. All they're saying now, if we kick it off from the 30 instead of the 35 instead of the 30, there'll be less return, so there'll be better. There'll be less injuries. If that's what you want, say it. But that's what it's all about.
Mm. All right. Well, they won't ever go back to the days of leather helmets, because that would probably cure that, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm just telling you, I was telling somebody, I bought a helmet the other day in an auction. It was a 57 Detroit Lions helmet, their championship team in 1957. And if you guys see this helmet, you'd laugh. It's like a little tin can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's all signed by the guy. That's why I bought it in auction for my grandkids.
Huh.
In 1957, and where the helmets come now, and I understand why it has. It's for protection. But in the sense that it's for protection, it's also become, it's made these players fearless about striking with the head.
All right, here's a quote from Dick Vermeil talking about the new practice things. Mike, you touched on this last week.
Oh, yeah, it's a joke.
And Vermeil says the 99 Rams wouldn't have been the 99 Rams if they'd have had the restrictions on practices the way they have now. The same for the 85 Bears?
Well, there's no question about it. You know, what they're doing now, and they're catering to the players who say, okay, we want to be out there on Sunday, but we want to do the things to prepare to be out there on Sunday during the week.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I mean, to be in pads 14 times a season, that's crazy. You know, we were in pads 3 times a week. Now, what are you going to do with your short yardage and goal line? I understand you say, well, we can walk through. But if you walk through, probably on Sunday, that's what you'll do. You'll try to walk through it.
Hmm.
You've got to move at a tempo that's pretty close to full speed. I'm not talking about all-out tackling, but you've got to have a pretty good tempo going, and that's why you put the pads on. And the reason you have the pads is to protect yourself when you're going at a tempo.
And the question is, will we have more injuries, or will it work against
John, I really believe we will. I really believe we will, and I hope not. I really hope not, but I believe we will.
Hmm.
I think that's going to be a major problem starting out. I really do.
All right, so, Mike, you're making news by saying that because of the practice restrictions, there will be more. You think there will be more injuries because of the lack of preparation leading
absolutely.
Up to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Preparation is essential for everything. If you're going to be good at something, you got to practice at it. And football is a great example. I mean, there's too many great coaches whose theories have worked out throughout the years. All of a sudden, they come to the year 2011 and say, we're going to change all that, and we're going to make it, we're going to give in to the, I don't know who they gave in to, I guess, the Players Association. But the Players Association got to understand that, you know, the well-being of the player is essential. and the well-being of the player is going to be helped if they can practice better.
And practice, I guess, practice the real thing, not on paper. Because we'll do it, Steve. We'll draw something up, and then when you build it, it's a different thing. I guess it's analogous. You're playing hard during the week. You know what to do when you're full go. Well, when you're not doing that, it's
football is a game of reaction, guys. And when you're going, you know, walking through things or going half speed, your reaction, you can react to anything. But when you get the tempo gets up, you know, then it's really truly it truly reflects how you react.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. That's exactly, you know, Mike, when they talk about high school to college to pro, what always comes up is the level of speed. When you jump from one level to another, how much more a quickness you have to have, how much more of a reaction. Well, if you're not practicing that during the week, you're going to have a different game, I think. I think you will have different outcomes of games, but I'm interested to see about this injury, because I kind of tend to think you're making a lot of sense, and that'll be too bad.
Mm.
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't happen. I just have that feeling. I just don't think you can play football without practicing it. It's just
amazing, Mike.
That's what I believe.
How sophisticated everything's become from the days when the Lions had that kind of helmet, you wore that kind of helmet, and how they are so protective now. The big money contracts, the big league agents, all that. Man, is it night and day from when you strapped it on.
Well, it's different, but you got to understand now, you're talking about a $9 billion sport.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
When I played it, it was at best, $1 million sport.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we'll leave it there. We'll meet again Monday. Thank you so much, Johnny. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. God bless.
Have a great weekend. Brother Johnny from New Orleans, Louisiana today, and Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. We discuss everything under the sun, news that's news. As we continue to do it, we'll talk again Monday morning at 7:30. Back with Fox News. That's coming up next.